Governor Spitzer, welcome back to the Brian Lehrer Show. Good morning.
Good morning. Always great to chat with you.
First on the driver's license plan, tonight is another Democratic presidential debate. Did you consider in advance the position you'd be putting Senator Clinton in with this plan?
No, I don't think anybody should view what we've done on the driver's license issue in the context of one presidential debate or the national politics. We were trying to confront what continues to be a serious problem, which is the issue of a million undocumented immigrants here in New York State, 14 million in the nation, just trying to come up with a solution to what is a very real problem that I hope we have the political courage to confront, hopefully in Washington, which
right.
is where it should be confronted.
But on the politics and the timeline, did you give the Clinton folks a heads up that you would be proposing the plan?
Before we proposed it, which is back on September 21, we had conversations with many people. There were months of discussions with advocacy groups, law enforcement organizations, security experts. I don't know, frankly, if we had a specific conversation with Senator Clinton or her staff, but there were many people in the world of immigration policy with whom we consulted in order to come up with something that we thought would be a sensible resolution.
Right. I take that as a no.
I don't remember one way or the other. And frankly, I was not involved in most of the conversations, of course.
Of a lesson to be learned from this, some analysts are saying that one of your failings as governor so far has been failure to build your coalitions in advance, even among your allies. Is it a fair critique?
Well, I think it's a fair critique of it. Certainly you learn from a situation like this where we wish there had been a more substantial coalition supportive of the initial proposal. Having said that, it was a tough position, and there wasn't the breadth of support for it that we expected or hoped for. The public was not for it. We'd spent a great deal of time building support among those groups that were there, and when I announced this on September 21, there was a very substantial show of support from legislative leaders, immigration groups.
Now, the Daily News today quotes sources who say the Clinton campaign leaned on you to ditch the license plan yesterday before tonight's debate, if you were going to ditch it at all. Did they lean on you that way?
No. In fact, we came to the conclusion to move on independent of any of the presidential campaigns, certainly independent of the Clinton campaign, and did so because I came to the judgment that although I still believe it was the right proposal, not every good idea is ripe at a particular moment.
And Senator Clinton, of course, got a lot of heat for her nuanced position in the previous debate. But
right.
were you disappointed in Senator Clinton for not embracing your plan outright?
No, this is a tough issue. And I think the senator's position that we need a comprehensive immigration reform bill that passes through Congress and is signed into law by a president is the right position. One of the things I've learned over the last few weeks watching the debate about this issue is you cannot deal with immigration issues at a state level.
Right. But you're not disappointed in some other Democrats in general for not showing the lack of courage of their convictions that you were trying to show?
Well, I guess one of the things I'm also learning, Brian, is that I don't pass judgment on others quite as frequently, nor should I. I stand up for the positions I believe in. They stand up for the positions they believe
right.
in. And I'm not going to be going around saying, look, I'm disappointed in this or that. It's not my role. I'll do as I think best, as will they.
Governor Elliott Spitzer, my guest on WNYC. You also ditched another policy from your administration yesterday, the Taxation and Finance Office plan to start charging sales tax on, if I've got it right, Internet purchases from servers located in New York State. And I gather that would have included some Amazon.com purchases, for example. Why'd you stop it?
Well, I think it was just a uniquely bad moment to roll that out. This is just an idea that was percolating up through tax and finance. It's an issue that will be examined to make sure that the whole issue of taxation of Internet sales, of course, is challenged tax agencies throughout the country and has challenged our national policy. You have to figure out how to handle those online transactions, but this is a uniquely bad moment.
It's just before the Christmas season.
It's before the holiday season. People are feeling economic uncertainty. There is tremendous concern about what's going on in the financial markets, and people are saying, gee, what happens next? There are layoffs in certain significant sectors here in New York, the financial services sector in particular.
So somebody over at Tax and Finance was a little tone deaf to the moment?
Well, you know, I think ideas, as I said, with respect to the driver's license, ideas have their moments when it makes sense to roll them out. This is not the right moment. We're trying to generate a sense of confidence and an upbeat spirit. People should go out and buy their holiday gifts, and we don't want people to be saying, oh, my goodness, now there's a new tax coming out. That's just
right.
Not the right moment.
On the issue, though, if it's right for the state to have a sales tax, why should people be able to dodge it by shopping online?
Well, this is an issue we'll have to look at. And there, as I said, there have been a lot of debates back and forth about whether you want to have online sales tax relating to online transactions. There are national moratoriums, the moratoria, I suppose, that have been created in some areas. We just need to look at it, and I think it's an issue that bears further analysis.
How much do you think racism was a factor in the widespread opposition to the driver's license plan?
Let me put it this way. I think that there are... most of the opposition stems from the fact that people of goodwill simply don't believe that people who are here, in their view, in violation of the immigration laws, should be given a document that appears to reflect a legitimate presence. Now, I disagree with that view, but I think people of goodwill have that view, and I could not dissuade them. Was there a part of the rhetoric that was deeply troubling to me? Absolutely. And I made that point when I announced that I was pulling the proposal back. Some of the language that was being used on some of the talk shows did appeal to baser instincts and spoke to the lack of civility in our political discourse and also descended to a lowest common denominator mm-hmm. that we should avoid. Now, I don't think that was how most people reacted to it. That was the fringe element, and it's something we should do something about.
Let me ask former Prosecutor Spitzer about the indictment of Bernard Kerik last week. He got off with a pretty easy plea bargain at the state level. Do you think this federal prosecution is a stronger case?
Well, I'm hesitant to speak about the strength of cases when I'm not involved and haven't seen the underlying facts and don't know more than what is in the indictment. But again, a federal indictment based upon probable cause is a powerful document that certainly suggests that the transactions should have been dealt with very differently by the defendant. And so I view federal indictments the way most of us do, as a statement of facts where the federal prosecutors believe they can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that they can establish their case, and so it's pretty serious stuff.
Do you think that this reflects on Rudy Giuliani's fitness to be president?
Well, let me say this. I don't think there's anybody who has hired as many people as you do when you're a mayor or a governor or in any senior position, where one of those individuals whom you've hired and relied upon turns out to have done stuff that you wish you knew about. And so I don't think it's fair to say, aha, we found one person who acted improperly, and therefore you're ill-suited to be in a senior position. I don't think that really is a fair way to judge people.
You said you were abandoning the driver's license plan, partly so it wouldn't hold up your larger agenda for the reform of New York State politics. So let's look forward. As specifically as you can, what's next at the top of that agenda?
There's several critical pieces to it. One is continuing to reform our educational infrastructure. We have begun the process of funding it fully. Remember, for years we debated the campaign for fiscal equity. That's not something we talk about anymore. We resolved it. We are putting the funding into our educational system, our K-12 system, but now we have to make sure we spend it properly, which is where the contracts for excellence come in, and we need to make sure that those are rigorous, and we've been working on that very vigorously. The next step in the educational arena is our higher educational establishment, and I have a series of recommendations that we will roll out towards the end of this year or in the state of the state to turn our SUNY and CUNY systems into the best public higher educational systems in the nation. It's clearly an imperative. Then we have our upstate economy, which is something that has languished under and been ignored all too frequently in the past. We are making enormous strides by cutting our workers' comp rates, investing capital dollars in the infrastructure for our downtowns in Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse to rebuild those urban centers and draw major investments to those centers. And we're having great success. Just recently, GE, Corning, Paytech making significant investments in the upstate economy, generating thousands of jobs. in addition to that, downstate, we have to build the infrastructure. And it is something that is the nitty-gritty of maintaining the vitality of the city. If we don't build the subways and the roads and the airports to facilitate movement in and out and the housing and the energy systems to support the economy, we can't grow. So those are the things that I focus on every day that we need to do, we need to make progress on.
And can you get stuff done with what has happened between you and Joe Bruno? The force of your mandate at the beginning of the administration helped you break through gridlock on some of the very things you just mentioned. But is gridlock back because you've alienated Joe Bruno so much?
Well, we'll have to see. It will be. We have laid out an agenda, and every day I'm saying to the Senate, come back, pass WICS reform, pass the bills that are there to capital investment, the capital dollars that need to be allocated. I'm hoping the Senate will come back and participate as a partner. That is the offer we've been making for months, and I hope they will take up that offer. And if they want to continue partisan bickering, that'd be too bad. We have no interest in that.
You've said that since, I think, July, but then it was reported that your office recently was considering asking the IRS to investigate Senator Bruno's tax liability for the private part of his helicopter trips, and everyone said, well, there he goes again.
Well, first of all, that wasn't the case. I mean, that's there were some news articles out there about relating to him and flights. I know nothing about it and, frankly, care nothing about it. That's nothing we're involved in. We have said, I've said since the beginning to Senator Bruno, be a partner in governing. There is much, and we did get an enormous amount done over most of this year from the workers' comp effort to transforming health care and education finance, very significant accomplishments, and creating a stem cell fund of $600-plus million that will fund great research here in the state. False Claims Act, and things that people don't pay attention to day-to-day that are critically important to moving us forward. And I've said to him, let's get back to that sort of partnership and move beyond petty bickering that does not help us. And I'm hoping we can do that.
And in your conversation here with Amy Eddings yesterday and All Things Considered, you blamed hyper-partisanship. You used that word in part for the death of the license plan. Do you think your administration has contributed to hyper-partisanship by going after Senator Bruno on his helicopter use?
You know, we haven't. I guess I would challenge the premise. I'm not sure we have gone after anybody. We just haven't done that. That hasn't been our.
Well, somebody did, right?
Somebody did, but it wasn't me. It wasn't us. And so, you know, I think there were news articles that the Times Union ran about the stuff that they. But you know, that's again completely ancillary to anything I care about.
Planted from high level officials in your administration? No.
No, actually, those articles, I think, if I remember, came from a FOIL request they served on somebody after a report came out. Beats me, and it's not stuff I really care about.
One other thing on Troopergate, though. The report from the Albany DA said, in effect, that you were personally opposed to going after Bruno over helicopter use because the law was porous enough that his fundraising trips with a little bit of official business were legal. But right. The DA said your staff did it anyway. Can you confirm that version of events?
Look, the Soar's report speaks for itself, and I'm simply not going to get into I read it when it came out, haven't looked at it since, and whatever he said I'm sure is accurate. But I also do recall that this was in response to media requests, and you know, I think you guys appreciate transparency with the media is something that I believe in, we believe in. That's why we're webcasting all the public meetings that are open to the public, and we're doing everything we can to be open to you and other members of the media.
Before you go, Governor, in July, you published an op-ed piece in the New York Times called An Apology from Albany after that so-called Troopergate mess broke out. Now, here you are again. That's two big public reversals you've been forced to in your first year. What happened to the super competent governor people thought they elected?
Well, you know, I guess I take a different view. Brian, my sense is that what I announced yesterday was by no means an apology. It was by no means anything more than a recognition that a right policy doesn't always succeed. Virtually every major editorial board in the state agreed with me, from the New York Times to the Daily News to the Times Union and on across the spectrum. That doesn't mean that you will succeed in implementing a policy. This has been a failure of leadership in Washington, pure and simple.
But you've seen,
if people want to understand why we have an immigration crisis and why there are 14 million individuals in the nation who are undocumented, and I was trying to deal with it just the way I dealt with market failures and environmental problems and labor issues where the feds didn't confront them in the past, Washington failed us, and we were trying to address the problem. Now, what I concluded was that we couldn't do it alone. One state alone couldn't do it, and that's what I said. I believe we were right on the policy. I think that there were should have been more folks standing up with courage in Washington to resolve the issue back when the immigration bill was proposed a couple months ago. But we're going to move on to do the things that a governor can and should do. So, I don't know anybody who bats 1,000 when they're standing in the batter's box. And I think those whom I admire, when I look back at who's preceded me in this office, whether it's Teddy Roosevelt or Al Smith or Charles Evans Hughes or on down through the ranks, have made it very clear that you try to think boldly, you roll out ideas, and if most of them make it through, you're doing great. Those that don't make it through, that is the consequence of thinking in a way that is not typical and not boring. It's very easy to be complacent. It's very easy to only do that which is acceptable to everybody. The balance is between finding those ideas that are innovative, new, and sometimes challenging, and those that can also succeed. And that is an effort of moving with some balance and trying things and pushing and pulling back sometimes when appropriate, and that shows those are the elements of leadership.
All right, on to the future. Governor Eliot Spitzer, thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we will take your calls on Governor Spitzer at 11 months. If you voted for Eliot Spitzer for governor, has he lived up to your expectations? And react to anything in that interview. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to our comments page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.